Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Tuesday. What a glorious day it is. No normal Tuesday live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, at Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1, 1 hour from now, and it will look much different. My top 10 Herd hierarchy, just frothing at releasing that today. Joy Taylor is joining me. Such a great night. Cigars, sushi.
Yeah, you were living your best life last night.
Wife's out of town. It's like
And you got to be petty with Steelers fans.
Well, you know what? I'll be honest. A lot of you don't think I have feelings. Mm-hmm. And they've hurt my feelings. They've been very mean to me. And it's very sad. And I think, you know, listen, I'm going to consider accepting apologies. I'm not saying I will, but I will consider accepting apologies. So let's start our show with this. I do a Herd hierarchy every week. And, you know, Kansas City is the best team in the league. Every week, though, I look at Pittsburgh and I'm like, out of respect for Tomlin, the Rooney family, just, you know, just they're such a formidable, great business. But, you know, great businesses like Sears and JCPenney, they erode over time. And the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't just lose last night. They're now forcing on a regular basis Big Ben to throw over 50 times. Not good. The injuries are piling up. Not good. They don't even attempt to run the football. Not good. And they struggle to put away average teams. Not good. Last night they finally lost. And there are certain things that I look at and I just see other things. And I'll give you an example. Remember the movie Invincible, Mark Wahlberg, the bartender? It's a true story. He's a bartender, blue-collar guy, loses his wife, and he tries out for the Philadelphia Eagles. A tryout. He's just a regular dude, and he makes the team for a couple years. But when I watched the movie Invincible, it's a fun sports movie, Greg Kinnear, Mark Wahlberg. What I really see is, oh, it's just Rocky with football. It's a tough Philadelphia guy, you know, not making it, has a big dream. The bartender, Rocky, Sylvester Stallone, and they make it in Philadelphia. I can't watch Invincible without seeing Rocky. It's Rocky with a football. And I'm watching the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you know what they are? They're the Patriots last year. Patriots got off to this 8-0 start. We were like, wow. And all of a sudden, the games got closer, and they were asking more of Brady, and the results weren't good. Big Ben's had a passer rating last three games in the 80s, and they were asking more of Brady, and there was a couple of losses, and all of a sudden, you look up, and here's what Pittsburgh is. Early in the year, Ben was 103 passer rating, throwing 35, 36 times a game. 7 yards a pass, 22 touchdowns, 4 picks. Weeks 11 through 13, they're the Patriots. I can't unsee it. And then all of a sudden you looked at the Patriots, and they weren't getting blown out at the end, and Pittsburgh won't get blown out. They were losing close games to Houston. They lost a close game to Kansas City. They lost a close game to Miami. And then they got one and done in the playoffs by Tennessee. They are the Patriots last year. This is exactly what New England was. We paid them so much respect because of the brand and the name and Big Ben and Brady and the coach. They're just not dynamic. Look at them. They can't run. They don't want to make Big Ben throw 45, 55 times. That's what they have to do. They're not doing what they want to do. They're doing what they have to do. I mean, just injuries piling up. Think about this. Mike Tomlin eviscerated the Steelers a week ago. Just called them out. Said the word suck. We suck. What did he do that for? To mobilize the forces so the fellas like, okay, coach is upset. Focus in. No, they were worse the following week. Because this is what they are. They're not a great football team. They're a good football team. 1 week from now, they face Buffalo. They're going to lose, and when they do, they'll no longer be the top seed. Similar last year to New England. Lost that last game to Miami, and they lost the bye. Similar, when Gronk left, New England really struggled in the pass game, despite Brady. And since Le'Veon Bell has left the Steelers, do you know what they are in rushing? 31st 1 year, 29th the next year, and 29th the following year. They're the same team, invincible and rocky with a football. This is the Patriots last year. It's the same thing. We gave them so much credit. Then you look back at the 8-0 Patriots, and you're like, well, what were the impressive wins? And you look back at the Steelers, and they had one or two, but you're like, it's a bunch of stuff over the Jags and Cowboys, and what am I supposed to be impressed? Oh, that big win over the Bengals? Last year, Patriots crushed the Jets and Giants. They were both awful. The Bengals this year, not good. Cowboys aren't good. And I'm sorry, but I this is what they are. We paid them so much respect for the 8-0 New England start and the 11-0 Pittsburgh start. Watch the games. There's no there. Mike Tomlin after.
We just got to make routine plays routinely. And I say that often, but there's a lot of truth to it. I'm just worried about us fluidly moving the football, whether it's run or pass. We move it how we choose to move it. The way that we chose to move it tonight wasn't fluid enough for us to have victory.
So let's talk about a team the Steelers face next, Buffalo, at Buffalo, Sunday Night Football. Bills are going to win, and probably handily. Josh Allen played about as well as he has ever played in the NFL, but this is cool. Is that, you know, we always sort of understand that a college quarterback goes to the NFL, he won't be quite as dominant. You know, the defense is better, the coaching is better. You don't get any Troy State or Panera Breads, you know. Two exceptions, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. They are way better against better players and better defenses and better coordinators. Mahomes and Josh Allen are way better pros than they were at college. And if you go back to the 2018 draft class, let's look at the success of those quarterbacks. It is literally linear. Lamar Jackson's the MVP. He inherited the best coach. Josh Allen got the next best coach, Sean McDermott, and he's now going to make the playoffs again. Baker Mayfield had bad early coaches, appears to have a good one now, and now he's finally having success. Sam Darnold started with Todd Bowles. Now it's Adam Gase. He's gotten worse as the coaching's gotten worse. And Josh Rosen had no shot. He had Steve Wilkes, who's a coordinator, not a head coach. It literally goes in line to coaching. In the NBA, LeBron, Shaq, Kobe, MJ, Magic, Bird, they can run through coaches. In baseball, Clayton Kershaw in his prime is going to win you 20 games. It doesn't matter who's filling out the lineup card. And in the NFL, once a decade, you get an Elway or an Andrew Luck, and perhaps it's Trevor Lawrence. They can transcend coaching. But for every other player, every other quarterback in this next draft class, all I care about now, because y'all have talent, is where you land. It doesn't matter if it's Justin Fields at Ohio State or Trey Lance at North Dakota, Mac Jones at Alabama, Kyle Trask at Florida, Trey Lance. It doesn't matter. Zach Wilson at BYU. Trevor Lawrence is Luck and Elway. It doesn't, they'll transcend it. Where do you land? Who's your coach? I mean, Josh Allen, and from scouts I trust, and Lamar Jackson, from scouts I trust, multiple GM scouts, my guys were all like, oh, both of those, it could get ugly. But they went to John Harbaugh and Sean McDermott. And McDermott, Harbaugh's got Greg Roman as a coordinator, and Sean McDermott has Brian Daboll as a coordinator. I mean, you're watching Josh Allen last night. He wasn't that good against high school players. He wasn't that good against what conference is Wyoming in? He was literally taking Robert Saleh, who you guys all think is a great coordinator. I don't know. Tore him apart. They couldn't stop him. He toyed with him. And so, you know, for all these years, we always look at these college quarterbacks that come to the NFL with their arm and their size. Go look at Josh Allen's last 3 years in the NFL. For our radio audience, I apologize. I'm not going to break this down. Completion percentage, passer rating, passing touchdowns, passing yards per game. Look at those 30% leaps every year. He didn't get better. His coaching is better. Justin Fields could be a bust. Bad head coach? I mean, literally, Baker Mayfield looked like a bust. Gets a coach, you're like, oh, you can win a playoff game with him. Darnold looked dynamic early. Gase, it's gotten worse. I'm not even, can you get a fourth round pick for Sam Darnold today? So, wow. I mean, that was kind of like, I mean, that was Mahomes-like last night. Arm angles, deep ball, rolling out, that is Mahomes, Josh Allen, are significantly better. And what has Patrick Mahomes gotten? Oh, Andy Reid. Oh, what a shock. Good GM, Andy Reid. Nice offensive line, good ownership, top GM. That was quite a performance last night, though. That was like jaw-dropping performance. Good for Buffalo, good for Josh Allen.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Sometimes in this world where everybody gets an opinion, you have to mute certain people. They just lose the right to be heard. They don't lose the right to have an opinion, but they lose the right to be heard. I've said this about people who claim COVID was a hoax to humiliate Trump. Okay, he's leaving, the new guy's coming in, and now the cases are still surging. You have a right to say that, and I have a right to mute you, and you can't be taken seriously. So LeBron, for some reason, still worries a lot about what Kyrie Irving says. It really bothers him. So Kyrie Irving said this not long ago about Kevin Durant. Here's Kyrie Irving.
One thing I've always been comfortable with is, you know, I felt like I was the best option on every team I played for. You know, down the stretch. This is the first time in my career where I could look down and be like, that motherfucker can make that shot too. And he'll probably do it a lot easier.
Okay, so that's cool. He's saying basically Durant is the best closer he's ever worked with, and he always thought he was the best closer. Now LeBron did not like this comment. LeBron's reaction.
Like damn. Once I got the whole transcript, I was like, damn. You know, I wasn't like, oh, you tripping, I've hit game-winning shots my whole life. I was not like that. I was like, damn, because, I mean, I played with Kyrie for 3 seasons, and we was able to win a championship. That's the craziest thing. We were still able to win a championship, and we could never align, but I only cared about his well-being, both on and off the floor, and it kind of hurt me a little bit.
LeBron, Kyrie Irving is gifted. I mean, really, really talented. But I'm going to tell you a series of things he has said over the last couple of years. The earth is flat. Steaks don't come from anything natural. Christmas isn't a holiday. There's not one real picture of the earth. And anybody, Kevin, could coach us and we could win. Okay. Yesterday, I saw a story where a former Israel space security chief said there was a galactic federation, an agreement between aliens and governments. And in fact, under the surface of Mars, there was a big space where American astronauts and alien representatives hung out. I imagine they played bridge or maybe backgammon. Okay, we're not going to listen to you anymore. That's not what's happening. Astronauts under the surface of Mars with alien representatives, and the governments are all part of what he called a galactic federation. We have signed a contract, well, at least they have pens and paper in the alien world, between governments and aliens to work together and do experiments around Earth. Listen, Kyrie's great, but you get to a point with certain people where they're just great, they're talented, but you got to mute them. And LeBron needs to mute Kyrie. Just he says stuff. Maybe it's to get a reaction. Maybe he's just doing it to be funny. Maybe he's got a great sense of humor and I don't get it. But, you know, you can't listen to every opinion. LeBron's been a great teammate. Kyrie, for the record, was nearly a bust in Cleveland before LeBron got there. Couldn't get along with teammates, couldn't get along with coaches, and could not stay healthy. LeBron, you're above this. Way above this.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
When you watch Washington last night, Washington in itself isn't fascinating, but when you watch the Giants beat Seattle and Washington beat Pittsburgh, those were the two biggest upsets of the weekend. I think it's fair to say this is not a reach that the Giants have found their coach. And I think Washington getting better every week has found theirs. That's a big deal in the NFL. Got to have the coach right. We just talked about quarterbacks. You can be the most talented guy in the world. Harbaugh and Sean McDermott guarantee Lamar and Josh Allen success. So we watched this weekend, the Giants upset Seattle, and last night Washington beat Pittsburgh. Probably in both cases, don't have the talent. So the Giants in the NFC East, the Giants and Washington's football team, they have their coach. Also, the Giants for the next several years have a talented quarterback, Daniel Jones, they won't have to pay. Washington will draft a quarterback and play him very early, and they won't pay him for 4 to 5 years. Meanwhile, the Dallas Cowboys, who keep losing and will lose tonight, I think rather close to Baltimore, will have a top five pick, and have shown no inclination to draft a quarterback. So I want to put up, right now the New York Giants have no contracts over $17 million. None. Washington has one. Next year, here is what Dallas is paying just their offensive stars. Zeke will make $14 million. Amari Cooper, $22 million. Dak, $37 million. Zach Martin, $17 million. Tyron Smith, $14 million. Lyle Collins, $12 million. I don't want to get into Demarcus Lawrence, defensive end, at $25 million. I know. I threw up in my mouth. That's gross. That is what they're paying. By the way, Dak isn't even one contract over $20 million. He's almost two $20 million contracts. Giants don't have any. Washington's got one Alex Smith, barely over 20. The Dallas Cowboys shouldn't consider drafting a quarterback. They have to do one of two things. Either draft a young quarterback and not pay him, because you couldn't trade, you couldn't sell Zeke, Amari, and DeMarcus Lawrence contracts today. Tyron Smith, you couldn't sell him. You either got to draft a quarterback or, and I don't have a problem with this option either, you have got to trade down in the draft and get multiple second, third picks. Because that a top five pick this year for a quarterback, you can get a lot. And Jerry's got an ego. And Jerry Jones, he loves having a top 5-10 pick, right? Because everybody talks Cowboy. Oh, my Cowboy pick. Unbelievable. Jerry, disappear out of the first round. Go to the third. Go to the second. Go to the fourth. You start looking at, because in your division right now, who's in big trouble? Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, that contract, and they don't know if they have the right coach. Dallas, we don't know if they have the right coach, $37 million for a quarterback. But I'm watching the Giants in Washington over the last 24, 48 hours. They both have the coach, and they're going to pay their quarterback nothing. And we got a formula in this league, and that's the formula. The Giants in Washington, get the coach, don't pay your quarterback for 3 or 4 years. I mean, Dallas has got... I saw a story today. They're going to tag Prescott. And that's all guaranteed money now. That's all guaranteed money, $37 million. That's almost two $20 million contracts. But what was it Jerry Jones was talking about this morning? This morning in Dallas, he was talking about, he was asked about their struggles, how they differ from the Washington football team in New York.
What do you say to that fan, Jerry, as to explaining the differences between where you guys are and where those other teams are with some similar issues?
Well, I think that's a fair approach to look at it, because have they incurred setbacks, injury? They made those, obviously made changes when they came in to their various organizations. I don't know how you could line them up and make a better, fairer comparison.
Like, he's just telling you. You look, Washington and New York, it's not just this weekend. They got the formula. They're ready to roll. Paying the quarterback nothing, got the right coach. I don't know how the Dallas Cowboys have a top five pick and either don't take a quarterback or trade down to get picks. They are on the precipice of being, and this is hard to do when you're the Dallas Cowboys, being irrelevant for like a long, long time.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app. Herd Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
Seattle. I know they lost, but, you know, I still think they're better over five games than the Giants. It was their first home loss of the year. The defense has 21 sacks since week 9, most in the league. DK Metcalf leads the NFL in receiving yards. They had a clunker because their offensive line for four quarters got pushed all over the field by the Giants. Listen, the Raiders beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead. Do we think they're better? Washington beat the Steelers last night. Do we think they're better? Not over time. I think Seattle is better than the Giants over time, but the Giants deserve credit for the win, and Seattle should be dropped to just number 10.
Number 9.
Dolphins. Seattle beat them earlier. I don't know if they beat them today. Dolphins have won 7 of 8. Their defense is number 2 in the league in scoring. Mark Schlereth said it this weekend. Their defense is confusing people. Xavien Howard leads the NFL with 8 picks. Their draft picks are hitting it out of the park. Tua does not turn the ball over. They're a little like a really, really, really young New Orleans Saints when Drew Brees came in. You know, they're building stuff. They're not there yet, but they got this quarterback who's accurate, smart, and never turns the ball over. Love their head coach. Dolphins at 9.
Number 8.
Steelers. Folks, this is what they are. I may be being kind. 5+ drop passes again last night. 55 yards rushing since week 8, worst in the league. Big Ben, 45 or more pass attempts in the last month, most in the league. 3 of their 4 remaining games, they face the Bills, the Colts, the Browns, winning records. This team isn't doing a ton right, and their injuries are piling up on their defense. I've got them at 8, and I'm being kind.
Number 7.
Cleveland would beat them today. Cleveland's got the number 1 rushing offense. Baker Mayfield's not turning it over, and they're not asking him to throw a ton. Here's what's interesting. Odell Beckham hurt opening drive week 7. Baker Mayfield, since then, we always thought Baker and Odell were not perfect. Since then, 11 touchdowns, 1 pick. Passer rating 112 for Baker Mayfield. We kept saying it. Odell's great, and Baker's got talent. They're a bad fit. Baker was forcing the ball to Odell Beckham. Since he's been hurt, Baker's a different quarterback. Now, I don't love their defense. I don't. But I think offensively right now, they have the ability to eat the clock, and Baker's not turning it over. I got him at 7.
Number 6.
But I think they'd lose head-to-head with Tampa Bay. Bucks are coming off a bye. They're struggling right now. But again, they finish with 4 games against teams 500 or worse. Brady is great off a bye. I think teams that are talented off a bye, especially without preseason, they'll right the ship. They have the number 1 rushing defense. They take the ball away. Tampa at 6.
Number 5.
But I think the Rams would beat them. Listen, the Rams have won 3 of 4. They don't match up with San Francisco. We've seen it in the last 2. They don't match up with them. But they're 33-0 when they lead at halftime, and they usually do with McVay. Their pass defense, the best secondary of the league, hands down. They're great corners, great at safety. This is a big one. They've allowed the fewest big plays in the NFL this year. Those are 20-plus yard plays. So you got to grind it out against them. It's very Belichickian. They're not giving you any free stuff. Jared Goff, when comfortable, they lead, they win, case closed.
Number 4.
I think I may have them one spot too low. I'm going to put Buffalo here. I think I've got them too low. I turned this in this morning. I think I have them too low. First of all, they're a Hail Mary pass away from being 6-0 in their last 6 games. They should have won 6 straight. A Hail Mary pass. They outplayed Arizona, or they'd be 6-0. They're the only offense with 20-plus first downs in every game. Their defense leads the NFL in takeaways in the fourth quarter. They're exceptionally well-coached. Buffalo at 4.
Number 3.
But out of respect, I'm going to put Green Bay at 3. Aaron Rodgers is on fire. Devontae Adams, I think this morning's the best receiver in the league. Aaron Jones is unbelievable. I still think they miss Blake Martinez at linebacker. But what can I say? They're playing much better in the second half of games now. So situationally, they're making adjustments after half. I didn't think they were very good at that last year. They remain pretty healthy. It's a good pass-blocking offensive line. Listen, it's pretty simple to figure it out. When they lead and teams have to throw against them to catch up, they're great. If they fall behind and you can run the football and eat the clock, they're not a great football team. But people aren't taking leads on them. Aaron's happy, content, and comfortable. I have him at 3.
Number 2.
Saints, to me, have the best roster thanks to Mickey Loomis and Jeff Ireland in the front office. I think they're the best roster in the NFL. They don't have an over-the-top component passing. But, I mean, what other team in the NFL? 9 straight wins, 5-1 on the road, haven't had the easiest schedule, have had turmoil at quarterback. Last 2 years, they're 8-0 in those games. Their defense has allowed 16 or fewer points in 5 straight games. First month of the year, I did not love this defense. They have tightened it up. That's what well-coached teams do. And I do think roster top to bottom, it's the best in the NFL.
Number 1.
All right, we know who it is. All right, Kansas City. They don't give the ball. You know, here's the thing with them is they only have 8 giveaways all year. So it's just frightening. It's like if the Warriors never had turnovers. So they're the most explosive offense. And oh, yeah, they never turn it over. That's a nightmare combination. A lot of times you get the flashy offense, little run and gun. Mahomes doesn't throw picks. They don't fumble. So right now I feel like the only team that really matches up with them, I think New Orleans matches up with them really well, and I think I may have Buffalo a little low. I don't want to, the reason I put Buffalo at four, I didn't want to be your typical sportscaster. A team plays great on Monday night, and I come out here hair on fire. Buffalo's going to win every game. I was like, nah, don't be that guy.
You don't think it's hair on fire to have the Browns above the Steelers?
I think the Browns are playing great. They do a lot well.
I think the Browns are playing great,
and
too.
And they're healthy. Their offensive line rate's higher.
So if the Steelers and Browns play today, you think the Browns will beat the Steelers?
Absolutely. Pittsburgh can't run the ball.
Oh, Colin.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
And with that, we bring on the Hall of Famer, three-time All-Pro, a Super Bowl champ, Hall of Famer for 20 years, 13 in the league with the Raiders, all with the Raiders, Howie Long. You still look fantastic. You're losing weight.
Duct tape and glue.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's the secret.
See, all right, I'm going to throw a couple big breaking news stories at you. One, yeah. Jalen Hurts is starting for the Philadelphia Eagles instead of Wentz. Your reaction is?
To me, it's a bit of a cautionary tale. Being very familiar with Philadelphia, I think Carson Wentz is top 10 talent.
Yeah.
That certainly hasn't played out on the field this year for a number of reasons.
You can, yeah.
They've been decimated by injuries.
Yes.
And it's not
again.
And it's not just this year, which I think internally makes you want to start to evaluate your process of off-season training.
Thank you.
What you're doing in the gym.
The field.
Yes. And also some of the coaches that have left, some of the assistant coaches. Because, you know, the head coach is the offensive coordinator, but the quarterback coach is the guy that he's the quarterback whisperer on a daily basis, and they've lost some of that. And then you go ahead. I have no problem in Green Bay when you draft a project quarterback for a 37-year-old quarterback in Green Bay. Now, I had a problem with them drafting the running back as high as they did. I think they could have linebacker, wide receiver, whatever. But to draft a quarterback that high, what kind of message is that sending to your 26-year-old quarterback?
Well, you know, you've used this before. Everybody says he's just got to get over it. But as you've told me years ago, you can't have two Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the same room. One sucks all the oxygen out. It's the only position in sports you don't compete against somebody. So that's the reality of NFL quarterback. You draft a quarterback right behind them when they're young and struggling. It's going to be different for them.
And now you have the reality of you've made the move to take him off the field in the middle of a game and put in the young guy. How do you go back? How do you patch this up? How do you move forward next year? And, you know, I'm a big fan of the head coach. I'm a big fan of the front office. I will tell you this. They can't do anything, really, because of the dead money.
They're trapped.
For the next year. They're trapped. That being said, if this is the guy they really want to go with and they want to move on and they've lost interest in the starting quarterback, I know two teams right off the top of my head that would love to have Carson Wentz.
Name them.
Indianapolis Colts.
Yep.
You know why?
Yeah.
Head coach.
Yeah.
And it's the perfect city for him. You know,
he's a
North Dakota guy. Philadelphia, you know, and I went to school there. Philly's rough.
It is.
It's rough. And it's hard on their athletes. And they brought a championship to that city, and he was a big part of that, although he got injured in the game that we covered out here in L.A. and, you know, stays in the game for two plays. I love his toughness. I love his athletic ability. He can be a bit stubborn. He's not seeing the field for whatever reason. He's not seeing the field the way he has in the past. So they have some decisions to make. I think Doug is a very competent coach. He brought a championship to that city. The GM and Howie Roseman, I think they're going to buy some time with that. This is I think you just write this year off.
That's right.
Yeah, like Dallas. Dallas just got decimated.
Just write the year off. It happens. Yeah. They've won 9 division titles in 20 years. It's a good organization.
Yep.
So it's interesting. Last year, the Raiders surprised us early and then looked fatigued late and kind of fell apart. This year, I was all into them. And then forget the win over the Jets. And I just was kind of sitting there the other day watching them against the Jets, and I'm like, I feel like last year. I don't know if it's Gruden's style. It's the running attack. It's very old-school football. But the Raiders do not look this morning like they did 4 weeks ago. Am I overreacting to that?
I think, you know, the question is, were you overreacting 4 weeks ago? You know, I think there's no question in my mind that the defense has to get better.
It's a limited defense at this point.
It's a very limited defense at this point. Their first-round pick from last year stepped up and played really well versus the Jets. There was no Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs is a, and people might not realize this, and Waller is.
Waller's uncoverable.
Waller's, you know, Tony and I talk about it. Waller's, and of course, Tony's, yeah. Tony's like, Tony's one of the old guys on the lawn. Get off my lawn. You know, where, yeah. Oh, they don't touch the tight ends nowadays, but he's great. You yeah. know, with the qualifier that you don't touch the tight ends. He's great. I think the quarterback making that kind of a throw at the end of the game
yeah.
in that situation can have a carryover. I think you get Josh Jacobs back in the game. They get their right tackle back, who is like a wave hitting the beach.
Yeah, that's Trent.
Trent Brown.
Trent Brown.
He's like a wave hitting the beach in the run game. I mean, he's 6'8", 390.
Yeah.
You know, try stopping that. So that really sets your entire team up. And when you're running the football successfully, you've got the play action pass, it keeps your defense off the field. That was the struggle, I think, in the past couple of weeks.
All right, that's fair enough. That's a good point. Okay. Trent Brown is the biggest NFL player, by the way. He is officially the biggest NFL player.
He's big.
Yeah. So you can win. You know, there's a lot of Nick Saban always calls it inner scoreboard, outer scoreboard. That Warren Buffett talks about. A lot of guys chatter. What do you feel inside? So Cleveland's 9-3. But do they believe they got blown out by the Steelers? They got manhandled by the Ravens? You weren't on a lot of bad teams. But when you're in a losing culture and you have a good year, do you believe this morning Cleveland thinks they can match up with Pittsburgh and run the ball and beat them?
Well, at some point, you know, that has to happen for them to take the next step. And prior to this past weekend, you know, we said this is a litmus test game
for Baker, the franchise,
for Baker,
everybody.
The franchise, and I said on the show, Tennessee's a tough football team.
Yeah,
they're a reflection of their head coach. The running back is out of this world. But when you score that many points early, you take that running back out of the game.
That's right.
And if Tennessee has a weakness, it's their lack of pass rush and their lack of coverage, particularly on third down.
Yeah.
And the question I had on our show Sunday was, can Baker make big throws in key situations to take advantage of that? And he did.
Yep.
Now the next step is you've been getting your lunch money taken by Pittsburgh and Baltimore for
years. So
we're talking 18 years since this team's been in the playoffs. And Cleveland, I think, as a city and as a fan base, is kind of, you know, they're kind of Eeyore. They're Whatever can go wrong is going to go wrong.
I totally get it.
And you've got to buy in. Baker's not a runaround guy.
Baker, thank you.
You know, he's not that. And I think he's frenetic when he does that. And that's not who he is. I think he's a rhythm thrower. The play action pass, the run game. Their offensive line, if you take the time to watch them.
Oh, their O-line's great.
Hey, in the run game and the pass game, and they're built for the long haul. So you get a couple more pieces and, you know, your defense, which is, you know, fairly good. And I think when you're running the football, your defense always benefits.
Yeah. I'm beloved in Cleveland. You may not know that.
People, are you?
Well, people talk
you're
about
you're beloved
me.
In Virginia, too. My wife hated you because you badmouthed UVA so much.
Well, but now it's turned.
Just because they could spell.
Yeah. You know. Some people like me. Same way at home, pal. I'll tell you that when I go home. Sometimes she loves me, sometimes they don't. Here, Seattle. And Pete's a little flaky, but I love him.
And, me too.
And I watched him last week, and I'm like, oh, boy. I don't know. Last week, I swear to God, I thought they solved their pass rush with Dunlap, and LJ Collier's a young player. Tell me how it's going to end for Seattle this year. What do you see? Because it's like a baseball team with a bad bullpen. When your O-line can get pushed around, you've got a ceiling. What is Seattle and how is it going to end?
Well, the defense was historically bad for a long period of time.
It was, 2 months.
The run game without Carson, which I think really is, I think Seattle's better. I think Russ is better. I think the defense is better. I'm big on the run game.
Especially with Pete's teams.
Yes.
Even in college.
And Carson is, to me, an identity changer there, and it benefits Russell a lot. There are times when Russell has had the entire football team on his shoulders, and he pressed too hard
sure.
and threw interceptions and turned the football over, and getting Carson back in some form. I think this past week they ran into an extremely well-coached – extremely complex defense post-snap. And that forced Russell, who's one of the smartest quarterbacks in the league, to pause and make poor decisions, and they just couldn't get in a rhythm. Judge has done a really good job with Giants. And it's what you'd expect. I mean, in the past years, we've seen coaches come from New England and not be successful. These young coaches that are coming out of New England right now, you look at Vrabel, you look at Flores down in Miami, and you look at this guy with the Giants. They've taken it. It's the equivalent of taking that postgraduate course at Harvard that some of the players in the league go and sit in on for a summer. That's what coaching in New England is like.
So you went to Villanova. You were a tough guy. You had a, I don't know if it was a tough childhood, but you're a tough guy. But what's interesting, your kids didn't have the same life as you did. Your kids grew up, you guys had some money, but you were a tough kid. When you were at Villanova, obviously that's a smart guy school. So I look at you and your tough upbringing, and take me back to Howie Long at 20 years old.
Oh.
Because everybody looks at you, the glass. My wife's always like, God, he looks great. He's so smart. And it's like his wife's an attorney. His kids are brilliant. What were you like at 20?
Well, I got there. It was one of those situations where I'd lived with a number of different relatives. I had gone from house to house. And I was fortunate that I had an extended family that was...
But you were a tough guy. You got in fights.
I wasn't a tough guy till I was... It was like kind of like Kyle. My Kyle is a lot like me in that sense where I didn't figure it out till I was about 14 or 15. And I said, wait a second, I don't have to take crap from anybody.
Yeah.
And I never played organized sports.
Ever?
Ever. And moved out.
Isn't that crazy?
We had desegregation in Boston, and we had the busing riots.
Yeah.
And my grandmother, who I was living with at the time, asked my Uncle Billy, who had two kids and two adopted kids, to take me in. He working in the projects in South Boston. And how he took me in, the older I get, the more I really appreciate it.
So where'd you go to school?
I went to school at a high school called Milford High School, and the coach sees me walking down the hallway and says, who are you? And I'm a 13-year-old, 6'3", 190-pound kid. And I said, I'll come out. I had to figure out how to put the equipment on and do all that.
And were you good instantly?
No, I was terrible.
So when did you, Villanova gave you a scholarship, so you did
probably my senior year. I had played with a guy named Joe Restic, who ended up going on the Notre Dame, captaining Notre Dame. When you see the movie Rudy and he's checking down the list, Joe Restic's name's on the list.
Yeah.
And his dad was the coach at Harvard, and he was on the selection committee for an all-star game that's no longer in existence called the Blue-Gray game down in Alabama.
Oh, I remember. I watched it for 30 years.
Right. It's on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So I get a call. Some player gets hurt, and I get a call.
You played in the Blue-Gray game.
So here's the real irony of it. So I get a call, and I go down there on a Monday, and I said, sure, I'll come down. If a player gets hurt, I'll come down. And I had never played. I think we played on TV once. And the coach of the North team was Jimmy Johnson.
No way.
Yes.
At Oklahoma State?
At Oklahoma State.
You got to be kidding me.
And I win the MVP. And, when you go to a big school, you have one pro day and all the teams come in.
That's right.
I ran on the front lawn of my dorm. I ran 35 times. I mean, we didn't have a gym, an indoor gym that was big enough to run a 40. And on rainy, snowy days, when I remember Pittsburgh came in and I really wanted to go to Pittsburgh. I started in the hallway catty corner and had to run across the gym, Jake Nevin Gym, right down to where Rolly Massimino's office was and run into the wall because there wasn't enough room to stop you after the 40 yards.
Okay, what was Jimmy Johnson like? We got 2 minutes. What was Jimmy Johnson?
He was exactly how he is now.
The same hair and everything?
Yeah, same hair, a little bit thinner. He was funny because he gave me, I thought it was, going to Villanova, he gave me $7 to get a pizza, and I thought that was kind of a junior varsity payoff or something, when in reality, he wanted a pizza. He said he's still waiting for the pizza or the $7.
Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, that's an incredible.
We go way back.
That is amazing.
He's the best. Having that guy sit next to you on a set, he's the greatest coach builder, I think, of a football team.
So when I started doing this Sunday show, which is I got to get up. I don't want to get up at 5 in the morning again.
Sure.
I'm on a life, right? So I do it. But the reason I do it, Krista Thompson's a friend for a long time. But I come in and Jimmy Johnson, I used to hound him for 15 minutes. I just ask him questions about life and football.
Well,
he knows everybody.
Yeah, and we've talked, you know, my boys started out, when I started out here, my boys were 9-6-5 or 9-5-4. And two of them ended up playing in the NFL. And, you know, there were contract situations right. where I'd always, the guy I call would
Jimmy.
Be Jimmy. And, you know, Jimmy gave me sage advice. And, you know, the Dak situation to me was kind of a microcosm of that, you know, bird in the hand. I want 4 years. They want five.
Right.
What's the, and my question is always, what's the difference in your life? And Marvin Demoff, who was both of my boy's agent, who I think is one of the smartest people I've ever been in a room with, Marvin Demoff would say, he'd draw you up a kind of a schedule in your money portfolio.
Right.
If you get this much money at 65 years old, you've got $80 million in the bank.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to hold out, you want to take a risk for a year to get 87, what's the difference in your life with 87 in the bank versus 80? Not a lot.
I say this all the time. Last night I had sushi, cigars, a cocktail in the NFL.
You're happy.
Happy?
I told you when you came here, this is the best place to work. Remember?
Most days.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get a little pushback from the guys upstairs, but most days. You got to push those guys around once in a while.
We don't really talk to upstairs that much.
You know what? And we're better for it. Good seeing you.
Wow.
Hey, no, I kid because I care. All right. Howie Long, Hall of Famer. You're only the second guest we've had in 7 months on a chair.
Yeah, it's great. I was out here doing something for Ford and went out and surprised a fan from the Raiders.
Oh, you did?
A fan program.
Oh, God, that stuff's great.
It was really, really – you know, I wasn't sure how it would go, but the guy was just – he just about had a heart attack.
I love stuff
like
that.
So I'm not going to tell you.